Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 158 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly. Hello, Mr. Klinsman.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. Starting to get a little busy, but that's okay. Things are good otherwise.
Good.
How about you? I know you're in the middle. This is your busy season, right?
Yeah, this is busy season now for the next few weeks until people start getting the hell out of here and going up your way.
I would imagine, like, right through Easter, and then after Easter it must become a ghost town again.
Well, it's funny because we've all been kind of guessing when it's going to slow down. Like, at the Oaks, they have their member guests this week, and they said, like, that's the pinnacle, and then it'll start falling just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to some people at the other club today, and they were saying that, so when are you guys heading out? And they said, well, we got a month rental, and we're out the 31st of March. And they said, but we don't leave. We'll probably stay in a hotel for a couple nights. They said, because I-75 is horrible on the 31st. And I said, why? And they said, well, because there's a lot of people who do the monthly rentals, and they're out, and there's a ton of people who do three-month rentals, and that ends. So a lot of people are getting out, and there's a ton of people who do the 3 month. You know, you get a nice furnished house for January 1st through March 31st.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even think of that.
I didn't think of that either, but it makes a lot of sense because the 3 month is always January, February, March. So you're going to have a ton of people heading out March 31st, and then you have another wave right around Easter, and then Mother's Day is pretty much when the last of the people empty out, so
yeah,
you have three waves. But and they said, you know, the weather's kind of been decent up north, so you're getting some people leaving just a little bit earlier.
Yeah, hasn't been terrible. We haven't gotten too much snow, although they're calling for a chance. I know you posted that. You
yes.
were all excited mm-hmm. to post that on Facebook the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love taking any opportunity to make me miserable.
I do. I really do. I mean,
you
it's horrible, but I do. Like, it's bad. You know how you look at your phone this time of year because you're just hoping that you don't get that snowstorm, even though when you get it, it's gone in a day or two, but
yeah.
you just don't want it, so you keep looking. Well, I do the same thing, but I'm looking at my 10-day
uh-huh.
just to make sure that we don't have anything in the 60s.
Yeah, because then you got to make sure you don't pack away your windbreaker and everything.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Put away. I don't want to put away my UF sweatshirt or my Bryant sweatshirt, but
yeah,
we're at the point now where we're probably not going to see 60s during the day until, you know, late December, January.
Right.
So
yeah, you can pack all the socks away now. You're 100% sandals.
10 months of 70s plus.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't want to hear you complain about anything. Working 12 days in a row. Oh, it must be tough working outside in 80-degree weather 12 days in a row.
Yeah, it's been windy the past couple days, so tomorrow it's going to be calm. I think tomorrow's just going to be stellar. It's going to be like 78 degrees,
nice
all
day.
Sunshine.
Yeah. Sounds beautiful.
Mm, it's heaven. It's heaven.
You like it there, huh?
Love it. Love it. I was working with Eddie, come in, Eddie, yesterday. I never work with him because we both work just kind of separate days, but he needed the weekend off, so Freddie asked him if he could maybe work Monday. So it was nice working with him because when you have two guys who actually know what they're doing, it makes for an easy shift.
I was going to say, the industry you're in doesn't necessarily attract the best and the brightest, does it?
No, it really doesn't. A lot of times, he probably has about five or six guys who know the entire operation. So
yeah.
he kind of has to stagger him because he needs at least one guy who knows how to do everything.
Right.
So I'm always stuck with the new guys, which I don't mind because they come in and they work, but it's just they don't know what they're doing. So I can't, you know, what do I have to do now? What do you need me to do now kind of deal? So me and Eddie were taking down the range last night and we were talking. I said, you love it down here, don't you? He goes, Mike, he goes, I can't begin to tell you how much I love Florida. He said, if I had known about this when I was a young lad like you, he said, I would have done the journey and packed up everything and come down here.
Hmm.
But You don't need me. You know I'm a Florida cheerleader, so you don't. I don't need to keep talking. I've always been a Florida cheerleader.
Yeah, I don't need to. I don't need you to really get into great detail about it.
I walked in the cooler again tonight, and I was miserable. It was cold. It was like 38 degrees in there, and I said, "God, how do these people do it?" In 38, I was excited about up in Minneapolis.
That was like almost ready to pull out the shorts day.
38 was a good day. If it was sunny and there was no snow on the ground, the kids were skateboarding and riding their scooters. And
oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. 38 is nice. 38's not bad. So this is one of the best times of the year coming up, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Got some college hoops on the horizon and conference tournaments going on, and then we got Selection Sunday coming up and March Madness.
Speaking of, I've got in the office, I have Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
In the ACC tournament, which sounds weird, first of all.
Yeah, right.
Now, here's the kicker. Being played in Brooklyn, New York.
That's weird.
Is that not weird? Pittsburgh in the ACC tournament being played in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Why? Because they usually play it in Greensboro, right?
Greensboro. It's usually in North Carolina. Sometimes they'll have it in Charlotte, I think. I could be mistaken. But, hey, that's where the money is, New York. You know, they'll have the Big East tournament there. They played the A-10 there a couple times, didn't they?
Yeah, they have. The ACC just breaks my heart. They totally just ripped the heart out of UConn athletics.
Oh, yeah.
Everything just like, it's almost like they conspired against them, which I think Boston College actually did.
That's all right.
But yeah, it's so sad. Well, maybe UConn will end up in the Big 12 when they expand to 73 teams or something.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just like Rutgers football, you know?
Yeah. Why Rutgers get such a good gig?
Because it brings in the New York media market. That's what they care about.
Yeah, but Connecticut's more of a name in the New York media market than Rutgers ever will be.
Yeah, but I don't know TV-wise, though.
I think so, because UConn's goes with SNY. That's their like home network for their football and basketball games. Same station as the Mets, SNY.
Let's go, Mets. F-A-N-D-D-D-O.
So who do you like in March Madness? Your Jayhawks are looking good. They're poised to get the number one overall
seed, aren't
they?
I think they're going to get the number one overall seed, don't you?
I don't think Gonzaga's going to get it anymore after that loss.
No.
And I don't know who else would really topple. I guess if they lose early in the tournament.
No, I think Lunardi said that no matter what they did, they were going to get the number
lock.
One. I think he even said that if they had lost Saturday at Oklahoma State.
Right.
I think he said if they lost to Oklahoma State and they even lost early in the tournament, he still thought that they were going to be a number one.
Well, I think they'll be a number one no matter what, but will they be the number one overall?
I mean, it's tough because who else is up there? I mean,
Villanova, if they win the Big East, they could get it if Kansas stumbles. Yeah. I mean, North Carolina, if they run the table in the ACC tournament, maybe.
Yeah, they don't weigh the tournament that much. You can play your way into the NCAA tournament based on how you play in your tournament, but right. We've all seen a lot of powerhouses bow out early because they just don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those lousy bowl games. But I think Lunardi said that with the win at Oklahoma State, it doesn't matter. They're going to be the number one overall seed.
Yeah, I buy that. There's a chance for the first time since 1997 that two Rhode Island schools may make the tournament this year.
Now, 97, was that the year that Providence had that big run?
Yeah, with Austin Crozier.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the Sweet 16, right? With Pete Gillen at the helm.
Was it Sweet 16 or was it even further?
They may have gone to the Elite Eight that year. I'm trying to remember. They definitely went Sweet 16. I thought they got bumped off late in that Sweet 16.
You might have to check that out, Bill, because I think they went pretty far.
Let me see. I'll see if I can find it.
Providence lost to Arizona. Providence was the number 10 seed. Providence knocked off UC Chattanooga, so they were...
They only won their first game then.
No. Providence won their first game. They won their second game. They won their third game. They went to the Elite Eight.
Oh, okay.
And they lost to Arizona. I think it went to overtime, as a matter of fact.
96-92.
Yep.
Look at this roster. Derek Brown, Austin Crozier, Ruben Garces, God Sham God.
God Sham Melnick, I remember him.
God Sham God, he taught Kobe Bryant how to dribble. How do you like that?
Wow. God Sham God could dribble. He just couldn't shoot.
Right.
He used to struggle from the line, too. But look at that. Providence was a 10. They beat Marquette. And then, that's right, they beat the second seed, Duke, big, 98-87. And then they had one of those deals with a 14th seed, got into the Sweet 16, UT Chattanooga. Oh.
Yep.
And they ended up beating them. Providence beat UT Chattanooga.
And they lost to Arizona. That's the team that had, like, Mike Bibby and Miles Simon. Yeah. And then the next year, that's when URI made their run to the Elite Eight.
That is correct, sir. 1998.
With Jimmy Herrick.
At the helm. Catino Mobley, Tyson Wheeler.
So it's been 20 years since both URI and Providence have made the tournament in the same year. And there's a chance. Providence right now looks like they're firmly in.
Yeah, and I think
Rhode Island's on the bubble. They've got to win a couple games. Yeah.
Yeah, Lenardi thinks that they've got to go to the conference championship.
Which is possible.
And you know, he talked about it. They had a bunch of terrible losses. I remember I was watching a game on the computer, and I said, this is one of those games that they need to win, and they end up losing it.
Yeah, like at Valparaiso.
That was the Valpo game that they ended up... Yeah, remember they ended up losing.
I mean, it'd be nice. I'd like to see them get in, but, I mean, they don't necessarily deserve it. It wouldn't be like they would be robbed of anything at this point, because they have no one to blame but themselves.
All right, that's funny. I'm looking at the Midwest Regional, and number one Minnesota, and I saw them play it at the Providence Civic Center. They had Jacobson...
Who else played for Minnesota?
Oh man, they were stacked. That wasn't a team that had Quincy Lewis as well.
I'm trying to think.
Clem Haskins was their head basketball coach. I'm not sure if Quincy Lewis was on that team, but I remember Sam Jacobson, white guy, two guard, man. That guy was lighting it up.
Bobby Jackson, that's who I was thinking.
Bobby Jackson.
Russ Archambault.
Don't know him.
They went to the Final Four that year.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Jacobson. Bobby Jackson. Yeah.
I think Bobby Jackson may have been the point guard. He was a scorer, though. Quincy Lewis had to have been before that time, come to think of it. I don't know many Minnesota players.
No. Okay, so that wraps up our March Madness talk for the week.
For the week. We will definitely be discussing this for the next month, correct?
Yes, definitely. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
I'll be polite.
Okay, thank you. This is a Samuel Adams Hoppy Red, 5.7% alcohol by volume. Amber, smooth, and resinous, this ale was inspired by our exploration of Australian hops. We discovered that their rugged, spicy, and piney character brightened a backbone of roasted caramel malts, creating a beer with great depth and smoothness. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds good.
Sounds pretty good. So it's like a Killian's, only it's got more hops, more like of a IPA with a red. I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's kind of like the best of both worlds.
Can we go back to college basketball?
Yeah, we'll do that later. We'll talk off the air. I think people want to hear something to do with Disney this week, don't you?
Nah, I don't know. I think DeVorney would rather listen to our college basketball talk.
Jurgen DeVorney.
Yeah.
All right. We could talk more college hoops. I know you had a lot. You had a lot on your plate. You were posting pictures of Steve Melnick on our Facebook page yesterday.
Literally. I was watching Faherty. This is funny because I like to watch because I work during the day. So Thursday, Friday, I like to watch my the golf, and it's always replayed on the Golf Channel. So I pretty much, in my office, whenever I turn the TV on, it's on the Golf Channel, because that's all I've been watching now. Because it's either golf, lessons, and reruns of Faherty.
Right.
So we finally got Phil Mickelson on. And Bill, I know you're not a fan, but when you get a chance, you have got to watch this. It was unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
It was, I told the pro today, I said, did you watch it? He said, no, but I ended up taping it. So I said, well, I'm not going to tell you too much. I said it was like golf porn. I said it was unbelievable. He's talking. I'll give you an instance. Remember that shot he hit at Augusta and at the Masters?
Off the pine straw?
Yeah. So he said, Faraday goes, well, what was your thought process? And he said, well, David, he said it was a no-brainer. And Faraday goes, excuse me? He goes, no-brainer. He said, if I lay up with a sand wedge or a pitching wedge, he said, the more loft you have, he said, when you're hitting it off those pine needles, a better chance you have of it going left or right. He said, so I could have played cautious, hit a layup shot, and ended up catching one of those trees, and it could have come back to my foot. He said, I hit a 6-iron, he said, with less loft, and I knew that I was going to square it. He said, and if I went left, he said, I was going to make it over the creek, but I was going to be short left. He said, and if I went right, he said, I was going to be long right, and I was going to have an easier pitch. He said, so I was 100% committed to making that shot. And just, you know, hearing him talk about that with the loft of the club, and I didn't realize like a sand wedge or a pitching wedge when it's more open that you have a better chance of it going left or right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's easy to say after you already made the shot, though, too.
Yeah, but I mean,
if he had shanked it and it hit a tree and then went off his temple, I don't know if he'd be so confident in his choice at that point.
Well, then he's talking about, he had this coach and they kind of go over percentages. And he said, you know, if I'm going to take a risk and I have a chance to make 1 to 2 shots, he said, and the drawback is a half a shot. He said, I make that. He said, and then the opposite end, he said, if I only have a half a shot to a shot to gain, but I could lose 2, then I bring it back a little bit. And he's just talking about just thought processes. And it was fascinating. If you like golf just a little bit, you got to watch that interview. It was, you didn't want it to end. You were pissed when it went to commercial break.
I just dislike him so much, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, well, okay, don't watch it
not
then.
Not a fan. Well, I'll still watch it.
No, don't watch it. I don't want you watching it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no.
Do me a favor and don't watch it.
All right, I can do that. That's easy. All right, do me a favor and take us to break, Bill.
All right, we're going to go to break.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way. On the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and you never get the credit. It's enough to drive.
All right, we're back for break. This is episode 158 of the Por Favor, Montaigne Gasse Alejandro de las Podcast. And I've been working a lot, Bill.
I've got
12 consecutive days, and I'm only on day number 3.
Ooh, that's bad when you're already counting up and you're only on day 3. That's like a normal work week.
Well, the problem is, like, just psychologically, you know, like when you know you have 1 or 2 days off and you can just decompress and chill and do whatever you want. I don't have that option, so it just kind of wears on you.
Right.
But it was me. I volunteered. My boss asked me. He said, can you help me out for the Invitational? And he doesn't just want bodies. He wants people who know what the hell they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and he was the one that got me that job at the Tipping Club. He helped me get that job, so I'm very loyal to him, and I'll help him in any way I can. So I said, I'll tell you what, Freddie, I'll give you 2 of my days off. And he was like, just smirking. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. So, but what I said to myself was, I'm going to reward myself. So instead of just banking the money and doing this, I said, you know, I'm going to take those 2 days, figure out what it was, and then I'm going to reward myself. And I'm going to reward myself with some food at Disney.
Ooh.
I got your attention, didn't I?
Yes, my ears perked up, like Fenway.
Like Fenway.
Now, you did mention this to me a while back when this first came up. You said, man, if I work these days, maybe I'll go up and stay the night and go out to eat or something. So I knew this was possible, and you never know with you if it's going to come to fruition. Yeah. So,
well, the problem I don't know if it's still school vacation because I was looking at Pop, but Pop, you know, if I can get it for $79.89,
yeah,
that's not a bad deal. But when it's in the 120s, 130s, I just don't really want to spend that money.
Right, I hear you.
And I don't have Mary to mooch off of because I could usually just go up there and if she's working fine, just give me a key and I'll go play some golf and go have a steak dinner somewhere. But that's no longer an option, so I don't really have anybody to mooch off of. Yeah,
you could always bring like a pineapple to Scott Campbell's house and be like, "Hey, happy housewarming," and then maybe crash for
with my with my sleeping bag in my other arm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. I don't know though. There's two weasels. I don't know if I want to do that. You know.
No, that's true. That's a good point. But anyway, so you're not sure because of the rates. You don't know if it's going to be worth staying there. But you're definitely going up, and you're definitely going to eat.
Yeah. So because I'm not planning on staying. So I said, you know, let me do something. Let's bring Susie up, and she can enjoy it as well.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, does she factor into the decision of where to eat at this point?
I think the overall decision, yeah. I think we both like similar places.
I was going to say, you're basically on the same page for the most part with food. It's not like...
Yeah, no, it's not like
you guys are polar opposites.
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to say, hey, you want to try this place? And she's like hell-bent, like absolutely not. Like there's places where she's like, well, I'd rather do this, this, or this, but...
Yeah, it's not like she's a vegan. And you want to go to Yachtsman.
Correct.
Like she'll be happy with a steak as well.
Oh, she loves steak, yes.
Right, that's what I mean. So it works out well in that regard. So, and she knows that you're using this kind of to reward yourself.
Yep.
So I'm sure she'll like kind of let you pick, but you'll have her in mind because you guys are on the same page for the most part with food anyway.
Absolutely.
Now, here's the big question.
Yep.
Are you going to do like, I guess we can get into this and you don't have to spoil it, but are you thinking... Like, go up early, have a nice sit-down breakfast, enjoy the parks, and then go all out for dinner? Are you thinking of just, like, getting up there mid-afternoon?
Mid-afternoon. Because the problem around is I'd rather do that, but again, it's the Fenway factor.
Right. So you're going to get there mid-afternoon, do a little walking around. You're going to have Flower and Garden going on. You could do a little grazing there.
We can do a little
really
grazing.
Hit it hard.
Like a
hit
little
it hard for dinner.
Yeah, a little lunch, and maybe get dinner and then see Illuminations and then head out. That's what I was thinking, depending on where we go.
Of course, depending on where you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's on the table here? Anything that's like really in the forefront of your mind, or are you kind of taking a back seat and just trying to see where it goes?
I'm just taking a back seat and kind of seeing where it goes. I figured two of us might be able to come up with a pretty good laundry list.
We could probably figure something out. We've been known to do that.
I mean, here's the deal. Week? 2 weeks ago, we did a show about food, right?
Yes.
Last week, we did a show about music.
Right.
Which means this week, it's a show about food. I mean, if my math is correct, right?
Yeah, we're due for a couple food in a row, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we took last week off, so I think it's back to food this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Well, let me ask you.
Yep.
Are you going... The following week, like your first day off after this 12 in a row, you're going
to
the property?
You know what? It could be depending on how I feel. I mean, it could be one of those where I say, like, I'm just beat. I need Friday just to chill and take naps with Fenway and then Saturday just to...
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be the Friday because you're going to go up with Susie, so it would be the Saturday anyway.
Right, and then, but the problem is I work again 6 in the morning and then that's my double.
Ooh.
So I'm going to have 2 days off and then I go back to a 14-hour day, so... I might need one of those just to sit in a hot tub and let the muscles relax.
Yeah, because you're not going to want to be up at property until 10 o'clock and then get back at, what, 11, 11.30
and
then have to be up at 6 for the next day.
Plus, we've got the NCAA tournament in full swing.
Of course, that is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
That is a factor. So it could be down the line, maybe push it off to, like, birthday time.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I was thinking, though, Jurgen, is I could also go up on a Friday.
Uh-huh.
And then have Susie meet me after work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, bottom line is we have options.
Well, we're not too worried about the logistics of which day. We're really just going to get into the food here.
Okay.
Now, I think normally we hold off on social media to the end of our episodes, but I think we should go into it now.
Start incorporating it now.
See what some of the suggestions are and see if those gather any traction, and then we can come up with our own ideas outside of that. Does that sound good?
That works for me. You can take charge of the social media.
Yeah, I'll give you some suggestions based off of Facebook. You made a post on Facebook basically asking where you should eat after this 12 days in a row. And we have a few good comments here. Let's see. We'll start with our good friends, the Willings. They has separate comments. And Doug, he's really trying to break the bank for you. He said if it was any sit-down, he would pick Victoria and Albert's.
Problem is, I'm so happy Susie doesn't listen to the show, because I did tell her, I said, if you get a job with Merrill Lynch down here in Florida, I'm taking you there. And she does every once in a while say, you remember that deal we made? Really hasn't put the feet to the fire, but that's definitely one of those deals where I'm going to have to buck up.
Yeah, I think so. But he also said that if he had to pick something more realistic, he would pick Homecoming, the Art Smith restaurant in Disney Springs.
Okay.
So that's a good option.
Certainly an option, and something that we're going to discuss, because when we watched the Emeralds, Florida... That yes. was one of the ones that they went to, and Susie knew Art Smith.
Yeah, and he was Oprah's chef. And
yeah,
been
so
on
when
TV
she heard about,
stuff,
she's like, he has a restaurant there, and I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my god! So we watched the show, and she's like, yep, that we're definitely going there. So yep,
that looks fantastic. Yeah. Everything I've seen from there looks fantastic. Sue Willing also commented, and she said either Artist Point or Homecoming by Art Smith. So okay. The Willings are big Homecoming fans.
And Artist Point is...
that's one of your favorites.
I love that place.
Now, here's the question. Do you want to go with a tried and true, or do you want to try something new?
Well, I want to try something new, but that's a place that Susie hasn't been to, and she is dying to go there. So
okay.
Both so the Willing suggestions the are definitely, definitely... On the table.
On the table. Okay. So then Ben Heddle made a comment. He said either Boma or Hoop-Dee-Doo Review.
Okay. Hoop-Dee-Doo I've been to.
Yeah, that's... Not that there's anything wrong with that. That'd be a great way to reward yourself, because that's a fun show, a lot of filth, and the booze, too.
And the sauce, correct.
But Boma. Now, that's outside.
Yeah.
That's the buffet, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's the one we went to for... breakfast. That would be good. Any of the Animal Kingdom ones really could be an option, because you haven't done those. You haven't done Boma.
We've been to Sanaa. We did Sanaa last year.
Oh, that's right.
Last July, yep.
But there's also Jiko.
Right.
So there is possibilities there.
Yes.
Then old friend Lisa Green said either Kona or Raglan Road.
Raglan Road is a place that we both want to try. Kona, I've been to a million times, and man, I can't say enough about that. I love the
you
breakfast,
love
lunch,
yeah.
and dinner. I love Kona.
Now, Raglan, listen, now I'm thinking, you're working this weekend. The following is St. Patrick's Day. Going to Raglan, like, the day of or day after St. Patrick's Day, that would be quite the scene.
I just don't know if you're getting in there, and I think it's going to be loud.
Probably not, and it'd definitely be loud. They'll have the music and the dancers, but that might be fun. That would be definitely a fun environment to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard only good things about that place. I'd like to try that.
Yes.
Now this, I'm just going to say here, we're getting a lot of Disney Spring options here, because John Scanlon, Fort Wilderness Guy, he's saying Boathouse, which is a great choice as well. There's a lot of good choices in Disney Springs to get some very high quality filth. I mean, there's STK, there's Boathouse, there's Homecoming, there's Morimoto. Although you wouldn't really go for Morimoto because you're not a big Chinese guy.
No. But.
There are good options. So Boathouse could be a fantastic option as well. So everyone's trying to point you towards Disney Springs. Do you have any plans to do that? You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, it's on the table. Let's just say this. I'm probably going to rule out the parks, because I love having dinner at the resorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really go to the springs that much. So this might be one of those... new restaurant, new area. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Amanda Brown decided to say Mama Mel Melnick's for a special dinner.
I've been there, but I love that place. I think that's the best Italian food.
And then, Por Favor Podcast, a.k.a. me, I said Tony's Town Square might be the way to go. Big celebration dinner.
Big celebration dinner.
Yeah.
Boy, you love to bust chops, don't you?
I'm a bit... Oh, me?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that Tony's is out?
I've been there. So I'll rule it out. Yes, I have been there. That's
fair. Okay. Now over to Twitter, we're getting a little bit of a different flavor.
Because you have a different, you kind of have a different crowd over there.
It is a different audience. We got Theme Park Beer Drinker, which is their Twitter handle.
That's a good Twitter handle. I like that. Do you?
It is, yes. They said Yachtsman Steakhouse would be their choice.
I think
which
that's
I'm sure is.
I think that's going to be a birthday place because that's you know that I told you that's getting done this year.
Yeah. And then Annie Arms said Boma, so that's another vote for Boma.
Another vote for Boma.
And then LB on Twitter said Yachtsman. So
LB,
we got a couple
I
Yachtsman.
Used to work with the guy at Datalink. Larry Beck, LB is in the hizzo. I used to sing that to him. Okay.
So we have Yachtsman, Boma, Homecoming. So there's some good options there. Anything there that really strikes your fancy?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Artist Point,
that's right.
STK.
Oh, that wasn't even mentioned, but now we're talking STK. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah, you and I can kind of go around and throw out some ideas. Now that you know that I've ruled out the theme parks.
Right.
LB is in the hizzo.
So I'm thinking Homecoming might be something we have to look at closer.
Okay, write that one down.
So we have STK, we have Homecoming, we have Artist Point. You want to look at Boathouse a little bit?
You know, I've heard some good and I've heard some bad. Yeah, let's...
And I think when you had texted me, this was off air, you had texted me about this. And I suggested, what did I say? The place down at...
Saratoga Springs.
West, Saratoga Springs, right. So I said the Turf Club.
Mm-hmm.
So let's check that out as well.
Okay, write that one down.
That could be an option. I think that's good. I think we could choose from these. And then you had also said maybe Flying Fish, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's number one on Susie's list.
So that could be a good option.
Yeah, if that's number one on Susie's list, and that's the equivalent of Yachtsman's for me.
Okay, so let's narrow it down to these six. We have STK, Homecoming, Artist Point, Boathouse, Turf Club, and Flying Fish.
That's fair.
All right, where do you want to start? You want to start with STK?
Let's look at STK. STK Orlando.
Now, I've been there.
Okay.
As you know. It's really good.
And now, is it that classic dark steakhouse with the big fat knives?
No. It's like a more contemporary steakhouse. It's okay. Got the steakhouse menu and food, but the atmosphere in the restaurant isn't like Yachtsman.
When you walk in and you smell that meat on the fire, and do you just start like gurgling, just like oh my
it
God.
Smells the juice it smells st- good, mm-hmm. But they have like a DJ playing and it's like a lot of glass and things like that, so it's very different from
your classic steakhouse.
But the menu's there, so that's really up to you. If you don't want to go with that atmosphere, then it might not be the choice. And we're also looking basically the same price as you would be for Yachtsman,
uh-huh.
Or even a Shula's. So that could be, you know, a little outside of your comfort zone. If you're kind of balking at Yachtsman because you want to save it for a special occasion, STK might be a little...
Whereas STK really isn't going to be a special occasion.
No, because it's not something. It's not like what you've been dying to try.
Correct.
Although you would like it. You would definitely like it.
Yeah, I could go to a steakhouse every Friday night if money was no object. I love... And even though, you know, I like to, when I eat out, I like to try to have stuff that I don't normally make. And steak's pretty easy to make, but there's something about having a good steak in a steakhouse that's just second to none. You can't do it yourself.
How about,
you know
this?
What I mean?
You and Susie split in a dry-aged tomahawk, a 34-ounce long-bone ribeye, serves too, $128.
Here's a problem. We looked at that, too, at Yachtsman. The problem is that we like our steak prepared differently.
That is a problem.
That's a huge problem.
I guess you would just have to eat the dry-aged tomahawk on your own.
On my own, correct.
No, it's good. STK is very good. I don't think it's where you should go.
Okay. I mean, that Blue Iceberg I'm dying to.
It's good. Well, yes, it's very good.
Here's the thing, too, with a steakhouse, because I've been looking at Shula's, too, but I think this could be a place where I go when I go for 2 days by myself. Or if I go up on a Friday and I tell Susie, you know, I'm going to come back Saturday afternoon. You know, I can go to Shula's or I can go to STK. And she, not that she doesn't like steakhouses, but it's not her first choice.
I guess if I were you, and you were going to do that, I would go to STK for lunch,
mm-hmm.
grab the iceberg salad and maybe that crispy mahi sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you're in a fancy steakhouse, you're kind of going with a light lunch there.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the way to go because that salad was really, really good. Mm. Really good. And that crispy mahi sandwich looks fantastic.
Yeah, I love mahi.
And if you're going to do a couple different things, you know, you could always do steak for dinner and
correct.
Do this a little different for lunch and still enjoy the STK experience.
All right, where do you want to go now, Bill?
Let's stick in Disney Springs. We'll go through the Disney Springs options here and move over to Homecoming.
Let's look at Homecoming. Florida Kitchen and Shine Bar.
This place is very high on my list. Very high, looking at some of the things that are on. It's like home-style Southern cooking. So this isn't the place you're going to go for a steak.
Right.
But there's some really good options on the menu. The appetizers are just fantastic. Fried green tomatoes, hush puppies.
He did the Church Lady deviled eggs on Emerald.
Are you a fan of deviled eggs?
I don't think I can tell you how many times I've had it. Maybe a couple times.
Just a handful.
Susie loves them, and she thought that those looked amazing.
I like deviled eggs, and like you said, they're not like something you have all the time.
Right.
They look really good. The picture
right here. Those look gorgeous?
They just look fantastic. And when they're done right, a deviled egg can be a thing of beauty. So I think Susie's on the right page with that. Although those fried green tomatoes look pretty good, too. That's something I've never had,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard good things about fried green tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the picture of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got the shaved ham on it, like prosciutto ham almost on top of it. That remoulade sauce.
Is that gorgeous? Good.
It's got a beautiful presentation. It just mm-hmm. looks like it would be so good. Crispy and tender with the tomatoes. Anything. I mean, a fish dip?
I've never heard of a fish dip. Anna Maria. That's not that far from my house. Anna Maria fish dip. That looks good.
Yeah. Smoked fish with buttermilk crackers. Okay. Soups and salads. There's different things. There's a fried chicken chop salad. It's basically like a Cobb salad almost. That looks pretty good. Not something I'd necessarily go out of my way for, but that's okay. But this fried chicken that he has, Art's Fabulous Fried Chicken.
Now, and that's what I'm definitely going to have to go for.
You would have to try that if you go there.
And I mean, it would kill me to spend $27 on fried chicken, but if you were to look at this.
Yeah, Art Smith's signature dish. Buttermilk brined for 24 hours and perfectly fried and served with creamy mashed potatoes, cheddar drop biscuit, and love. $27.
And you can't put a price tag on love, Jürgen.
No, that's true. You got these two gorgeous pieces of chicken on the plate, a nice little skillet of potatoes, some pickles, and a little biscuit there. Mm-hmm. Looks like this person slathered some hot sauce on there, which sounds like a good idea.
Beautiful presentation, too, I might add.
Yes, definitely. And then they also have the fried chicken and donuts. So you can get the same chicken with the house-made sugar donuts and creamy mashed potatoes for $25. Yep. I don't know why it's less to get it with the donuts, so maybe they give you less potatoes or something, but that might be a way to go. Chicken and donuts. I like the sweet and the chicken together. That's always a good option.
And that, I'll tell you what, that shrimp and grits, that's probably something that Susie would go with, because she loves shrimp.
She loves
shrimp and grits.
Yeah, you had said that. And that looks really... That looks like so rich and... I don't know. It all looks good.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like the kind of place... how do I want to say this? It's almost like the American version of Rose and Crown, where there's so many things mm-hmm. on the menu that you want to try.
Let me ask you this, though, Bill. Is this a place you might want to go to in January when you really crave, when you're craving some comfort food?
Yeah, you want something that kind of coats the bones.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, as cheesy as it is, because you don't have many days like that, but is that a place you want to maybe hold off until January and go on one of those 60-degree days?
I could eat fried chicken any day, though. I could eat fried chicken any day. A shrimp and grits, maybe, the barbecue. I don't know, that's like, those are like picnic foods, though. You could eat those any day.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I know what you're saying. Like, if you get the soup, like the chicken and dumpling soup, you're not going to want that on a 91-degree Florida day.
Right.
But go for some fried chicken or some shrimp and grits. You can do that anytime. It all sounds good. Like, that is definitely a place
That's high on your list.
That I would eat anything on that menu. Catfish, shrimp and grits, short ribs, barbecue plate, fried chicken sandwich, the barbecue bun. There's good sandwiches, good entrees. It just sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I concur. I mean, that's...
Even the mac and cheese looks pretty good.
Yep.
So that's high on my list, definitely. And now the next one, it would be Boathouse, again in Disney Springs. This is more along the lines of, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're going in and you want the steak, you're going to break the bank. This is another break the bank kind of place. So I guess it depends how much you're looking to go at and how much you really want to reward yourself.
Correct.
I mean, you're working 2 days, but it's not like you're making $38 an hour at this place.
Correct.
So we have to take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get any Tables in Wonderland discount here, it doesn't look like. 10% off pass holder,
yep.
But you don't get 20% off tables.
Yep, so that could be a big deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of good things. They have a wedge salad as well, which looks pretty good. Doesn't look as good as STK's, I have to say. But it looks pretty good. The entrees, they have a nice fish taco, jerk spice grilled fish tacos.
Yeah, those are gorgeous. I love
those. Those look really nice.
Those are gorgeous.
But are you going to go into Boathouse Steakhouse and get fish tacos?
No.
No. Are you going to get crab cakes? You're going to get shrimp and grits? You're going to get baby back ribs? No, you're going to end up spending $50 to $75 on a
steak. Yeah, because that, look at that, baked crab stuffed lobster. Stuffed lobster. This is like the Venus de Milo right here, Bill. Nice asparagus.
I don't even see that. Where's
the... Look at that guy. What's going on with you?
Oh, there it is. Baked crab stuffed lobster. Oh, yeah. There you go. That looks pretty tasty. Everything looks really good there. Mm-hmm. And now, you said you've heard a couple not-so-hot things about that.
Yeah, but there's a couple podcasts that they're always miserable and always ripping different places, so...
Yeah.
Maybe I should use that
Give
as an outlier,
chance.
But...
Yeah.
Let's look at this shrimp and andouille mac and cheese. It's
that
probably
looks really
enough,
good.
Something I wouldn't order... Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord. It's shells and shallots and gorgeous...
And the sausage has got to be in there everywhere. Yeah, that looks good.
Look at that.
I mean, that's $25, and that does not look like a lot on that bowl, though, does it?
Yeah, I don't know if pictures do it injustice. That,
it might.
That looks
it could.
Gorgeous.
It looks beautiful. It just looks like a small appetizer portion for $24.50.
What is this for an ad? Is this an ad? Sandwiches, filet mignon sliders. Two sliders with...
Maitre d' butter. Yeah.
$14. Oh, look at those.
There's asparagus there.
Oh, man. Oh.
Lobster roll.
There's a lot of oohs and ahs, as you can tell. You can probably figure out which place I want to go to just by listening to me.
That's very true.
You know?
I mean, I think, I mean, what are we looking at? A New York strip for $48.50.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, does that sound like it's right in line, or is that expensive for you?
Oh, that's expensive. Yeah, yeah. No doubt. $50 for a steak. That's typically what you're going to spend at a high-end place, but yeah, that's high.
New York strip, 18-ounce, dry-aged at STK is $67, so it's $20 less than that. Mm-hmm. Trying to see, bone-in rib steak. Yeah, there's nothing really
nothing. I mean, look at the comparable. Filet mignon Oscar style, 12-ounce jumbo lump crab. I mean, 12-ounce filet is a good filet.
That is a good filet.
Lump crab, with asparagus, crab on top. And béarnaise. Yeah. That's not a bad $64.50.
No, that's, I mean, that's a lot. That's more than you're looking to spend on this, I mean, meal. Yeah, yeah,
Boathouse, you're looking at probably $150 to $200.
Mm-hmm.
Although Susie usually saves my orifice and will order like a $26 entree when I'm getting the steak.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she just gets what she wants, but a lot of times it ends up being one of the cheaper options. Cause
yeah, Susie probably get those fish tacos for $22. Exactly. You'll be like, thank God, you'll stop sweating so much. Oh, if you're getting the fish tacos, I guess I can get that Oscar style.
I guess I can get also add the two ounce lobster tail
for an extra $71 or whatever it is.
All right, should we head somewhere else?
Let's head somewhere else. Right, let's head to Artist Point. How's that sound?
I love Artist Point.
Now here we go. Here's something that could really change the game. I'm looking at Artist Point right now. There's a prefix menu, $75. You get a choice of three starters, the smoked mushroom bisque, which you love. A beet salad or the heirloom apple salad. So I know where you're going with.
Mm-hmm.
A choice of three entrees, braised buffalo hind shank. So it's basically a buffalo steak.
Yeah.
Wild boar bolognese, which is basically pork with pasta, or diver sea scallops.
Okay.
I mean, I think you would like any of those options. And then you're looking at a choice of desserts, almond butter cookies or a vanilla bean creme brulee. For $75, that's not bad.
All right, so the creme brulee is $10.
The soup is $12.
That's $22.
So we're looking at a $50 entree here?
Yeah.
The sea scallop is...
looks like the sea scallops are only $40.
Diver sea scallops. Yeah, so maybe it's not worth it then. I guess if you go the most expensive on everything, it might be.
Because braised buffalo hind shank is $49.
But you could, those salad, the beet salad is $16. So you go $49, $16, and then another $10. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. It doesn't really make out, I guess, the way
it's pretty close.
I guess I got a little ahead of myself, but it sounded like it would be a good deal. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. But they're not terribly expensive.
No.
Compared to like a 10-ounce strip loin, which comes with the sides, carrots, potatoes, $49. That buffalo shank, $49, with turnip mash, hay-smoked carrots, wilted greens, radish, wheatgrass, jus for $49. A striped bass for $41. Now you like that, don't you?
Oh God, yeah.
And you had the swordfish.
We had the swordfish.
One of the best things you've ever eaten. Yeah. I mean, all this stuff looks good. Sarah and I didn't have the best experience at this place when we went, so I don't know if it wouldn't be high on my list. But I know you loved it, and I know you said
I love the meal, and I think it's one of the prettiest restaurants on property.
Although it is a little different now with all the construction going on at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, but I don't think they're really knocking down the lobby, so.
That's true. You're not going to miss out on too much there. So where's this rank on your list? Still pretty high up?
This is very high. This is very high.
Because it doesn't look like the swordfish is currently on the menu anymore.
No, I haven't seen it in a long time.
With the striped bass.
Mm-hmm.
So they do change it up. That's one of the downfalls with the signature restaurants, is you can really fall in love with something, and they change up the menu so often it might not be there.
Bill, this is one, this soup, I don't, did you ever have that?
I did not have the soup.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's just so good.
It's so good.
And it's the same exact soup you could get at the bar, right?
Yeah, yeah, because I had it when I went with your sister.
All right. That's interesting. I may have to try it there, the Territory Lounge.
Absolutely.
Go in and try the soup. All right, so that's a, that's definitely still high on the list. Very now, you want to go to my choice here, the Turf Club?
Yeah, let's check that out.
Now, this is one that could save you a little bit of money here.
Yeah, I've looked at the menu a number of times, and it's relatively inexpensive. And like you were telling me today when we were chatting, you said, you know, this is one of those where you can check out a resort that you've never been to.
Exactly.
Well, this is now over at Saratoga Springs.
Saratoga Springs. This has a 9 out of 10 reader review on All Ears.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a prefix menu for $57.50.
Okay, let's take a look at that, huh?
And you get to choose, I guess you don't get to choose here. Just, you get what you get. But it sounds pretty good.
Baked onion really soup. Sounds really good, actually.
Caesar salad, 16-ounce T-bone, served with home-fried fringling potatoes, onions, and bacon, crispy haricot vert, and sauce vin rouge.
So you get soup, a Caesar salad, a steak,
16-ounce T-bone steak, and the chocolate espresso tort. For $58.
That's a deal in a golf half, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Although, if you were to look at that prime rib, you might want to change up the game plan.
Well, that's like their signature, is the prime rib. I'm not the biggest fan of prime rib. Although the New York strip would be the way to go. That's the way I would like to go. The T-bone's not even on the menu unless it's the same.
Yeah, that does look good, that prefix. That's something that I would probably get.
I mean, for $58 and then you get the 20% off with tables, really can't go wrong with that.
Well, then the thing is like Susie only needs an entree because...
You guys will share the soup and salad,
share the dessert. Exactly.
So you're looking at 58...
Say $58 and then she gets...
A $30 dish, you're looking at under $90.
And it could very well be the rigatoni for $22.
Yeah, or the fried chicken, which I heard is very good there.
So you're looking at like $80.
Right. Take off the 20%.
And then you do the tables and then you add the tip. You're looking at $80 total.
Right. Maybe a cocktail in there. Yeah, possibly.
That could be the leader in the clubhouse, Bill.
I mean, we're looking at probably, we have to take everything to an account.
Absolutely. Account here.
Because, yeah, of course we can say, oh, sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. Money's no object. But we know that's not the reality of the situation. And
yeah, I'm just looking for a nice sit-down. We haven't had a sit-down in quite a while. Just a nice sit-down, be able to talk and hang out for a couple hours.
This looks like a nice place. Has good reviews. It's probably, you could probably walk up and get seated within a minute. I'm doubting there's a lot of...
And I bet it's going to be kind of like Olivia's Cafe.
Oh, and it looks gorgeous from the outside, too. Looking at some pictures.
Over at Old Key West. I mean, it's just one of those non-cheerleader, nobody would ever think to go there.
Oh, there's a beautiful bar. They have a pool table in there. Regular seats. Oh, it looks just like a... It almost looks like a ground round on the inside. That's what it reminds me. Remember the ground round in the Warwick Mall?
The ground round, yeah.
It looks just like that. Let me send you... Let's see if you can... See if you feel the same way about this.
The ground round at the Warwick Mall. Now that's going back some years.
You like that?
I like that. That's a good job on your part. Let's take a look at this. This is Mike. No, think it looks a lot...
You disagree? Yeah,
no, I think it looks classier.
Well, yeah, but it's got like that same... Like that rug pattern reminds me of it.
I've heard that this resort is so amazingly themed.
Yeah?
I've driven by it, and like we've driven by it, and Susie's looked over and she said, oh my god, that looks just like it. So, yeah, I've heard it's really nicely themed.
I'd like to check out that area, that resort, just walk around there. So that could be that. So you're saying that could be the leader in the clubhouse right now?
It's one of those things, Bill. You never really think about it,
right? And you're so much, you're such a big fan of being the anti-cheerleader, it almost, like, drags you into it.
It just, it looks like a very good menu, reasonable
prices.
Gorgeous
menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know you're not going to have, you know, weasels running around. Not like any of these places would have weasels running
right.
around that we've been looking at, but
we always narrow that out. We get that off the...
Yeah, I mean, but you don't have to worry about trying to get a reservation or waiting an hour and a half to get seated. Could drive right up and go in, I imagine. It's not going to be like, all right, you have to wait forever. And then the last on the list here, we have Flying Fish. And you guys always wanted to go, and then they closed and they did a whole refurb.
The refurb, yep.
And now they're back open again. And we have a some good appetizers. They have yellowfin tuna with compressed watermelon, citrus esplet, black cypress sea salt and avocado, a tour of the coast, which is Atlantic skate wing, local clams, mile zero shrimp, ice blue mussels, and celeriac puree. Let's see what this looks like. It looks like a little fish stew, almost. That looks pretty lovely. Corn encrusted wild gulf shrimps, a little fried shrimps. Karabuda pork belly. Shank croquette, royal gala, apple slaw, Bing cherry, grass streak, and a quail egg. These seem very fancy.
Pennsylvania Hills veal tenderloin sounds amazing.
Oh, we're going right ahead to the entrees.
Yes,
skip it right ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Although that blue crab bisque sounds good.
Yeah, I'm clicking on that right now.
They got a little olive oil getting poured in there.
Yeah, that looks nice, doesn't it?
Looks lovely. So, entrees, we have Maine lobster Nero pasta with golden tomato sauce, young artichokes, and a fennel pollen. $59. That's expensive. Pennsylvania Hills veal tenderloin with shaved Brussels sprouts, braised cheek, porcini black garlic sauce. $49. Plank seared Hokita scallops. Ooh, scallops with grits. Antebellum grits, English peas, and peppadew emulsion. Ocean's Bounty Sustainable Fish, $44. Aura King New Zealand Salmon, Pancetta Laced Ivory Lentils, Wilted Varietal Kale, Meyer Lemon, and Garden Vinaigrette. You're not a big salmon fan.
No.
$39. It looks nice, though. Free Range Chicken, Zucchini Eggplant Puree, Heirloom Tomatoes, Genovese Basil Pesto, $37.
That Wagyu Filet Mignon looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. With the mushroom potatoes,
doesn't
radicchio.
It?
Yeah, that all looks good. I mean, $55 too. Bison strip loin, ancient grain, salsify, cipollini onions, haricot vert, sun-dried tomato, Chiron sauce, $47. Then we have a wood-fired carabineros prawn, Chilean sea bass, and Key West shrimp. Bomba arroz, Peruvian sweet peppers, and a house-made chorizo, $48. That's definitely what I would get. I don't even know what half of the stuff is, but it sounds good. A prawn is basically a shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
Chilean sea bass, Key West shrimp, whatever that means. Bomba arroz, that's rice. Peruvian sweet peppers, and a house-made chorizo.
That's what I...
How can you go wrong?
I'd get, that's exactly what I would get, too. That's what I would get.
Sounds fantastic.
Yep, that's...
I really wish there was a picture of it, because I'd love to see the
presentation. I really do, too, because I was kind of like, okay, 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 and then I saw that, I'm like, yep, that's getting it right up there with Turf Club now.
Yeah, no picture.
Would you agree?
But, oh, yeah, definitely. But again, the money thing. I mean, for $48, I mean, you can almost get out of Turf Club with both of you under $48.
No, the two of us aren't getting out of there at
$48. No, I'm... being a little
okay, yeah, we'll get under 100, that's not a problem. But
oh my god, look at this. I found a picture of that presentation, Bill,
of
that dish.
Oh, please send that my way.
I mean, it almost looks like it would be too fancy to order. Like, if I saw this thing come to my table, I would almost be like, not sure if I can eat this.
Holy good lord,
just a prawn head on the plate.
That presentation's amazing, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. Might be a little too much for me, though. Looks a little different than what the description is, because that doesn't look like a... looks almost like peas and carrots in there instead of the homemade chorizo, but looks pretty good, regardless. I don't know, Bill. You got a tough decision ahead of you.
I do. So what do we have? What are we looking at? What are the choices again?
You have STK, Art Smith's Homecoming, Boathouse, Artist Point, Flying Fish, and the Turf Club. I think we can eliminate Boathouse and STK. It sounds like you weren't looking to spend quite that much money.
No.
On this. So we could get those out of there. I really like the Homecoming, but it almost sounded like you want to save that for the wintertime. So get rid of... So basically, Disney Springs is right away.
It's looking that way.
You were leaning Disney Springs to begin, and then you just got rid of it. Turf Club, you seem very interested in that. Very interested, and I like the way that was looking. Flying Fish really caught your eye at the end.
Yep.
And Artist Point, again, that's a place you've been to, but the menu changes and Susie wants to try
Correct.
It. Correct. Of those three, I'm still leaning Turf Club, but Flying Fish would be a close second for me. Artist Point's not really on my radar, so I might not be the most most fair person to talk to about that. Which way are you leaning now?
I'm not sure. I think we might have to have people stay in suspense.
Ooh,
and we'll do a review of the place that we went to in a few weeks.
Okay, that works for me. Some live audio, perhaps. That sounds good. I can't wait to hear it. I hope it's Turf Club, and I'll be. I'll find out when everyone else does.
Again, it's 50-50. I'm leaning one way, but Susie could very well say, absolutely not, I want to try this place.
That's true. That's a good point. You always have to listen to the boss.
Well, if you were to present this list to your significant other, and she said, I want to go here, you're not going to complain.
Oh, no, any of those.
Oh, I'd like to go to Boathouse. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, if Susie comes in and says, we have to do Homecoming, you're not going to,
Absolutely
drag your
feet. No.
No, you'll be pretty happy with that
choice. I'll be fine with that.
So I can see what you're saying here. But I think Susie's going to be pretty amenable, and she'll probably let you take the helm since this is your reward for hard work.
Yeah, more than likely.
Because I don't think any of those places would definitely, turn her off. I don't think anything would be nah, that doesn't sound good. Because the Turf Club, I'm sure she'd find something she'd love at the Turf Club.
Absolutely.
That place sounded fantastic, yep. So if you don't make it happen on this trip for the Turf Club, it's definitely got to be on your short list for next time you're up on property.
It's always been my eye. The menu looks good. The price points are fantastic. And like you said, there's probably nobody in there.
I would imagine it's very similar to Olivia's in that regard, the quality and the crowd and everything like that. All right, you got a lot to think about
next week or so. Yeah.
So at least you have something to think about during these 12 consecutive days of hard work.
Absolutely.
All right, take us to break, Mr. Klinsman.
All right, we're going to go to break, Mr. Klinsman.
You and her fought for money, so hard for you.
back from break. This is episode 158 of the 4 for 4 podcast. We talked about a reward dinner, if you will.
Yes.
Six places that we've come up with that I'm going to
try. We have some suggestions, some of our own. And we tried to narrow it down, but we really didn't. You basically, after we narrowed it down to a couple, you said, well, Susie could say anything and I'll be happy.
Yeah, because you said, well, you pretty much said that you don't want to go to Disney Springs. And, I mean, for all you know, Boathouse might be number one.
Top of the list.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True.
Yep.
Well, I wait with bated breath.
Because I'm telling you, Art Smith's, that she really wants to go there.
Especially after seeing it on Emerald,
yeah.
I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, SDK, we could say for a special occasion.
I'm telling you, that would be a great place for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get the vibe of it. Like, check it out for lunch, get the sandwich, go on the cheap, and then decide if it's worth it.
The
atmosphere
that you
want to go with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would say that. And then, Boathouse, always a good option. And then those other ones that we had, Artist Point.
Yeah.
Flying Fish. Turf Club. Can't go wrong. There's no bad choices among
the absolutely group. Not. Nope.
And who knows? It could be a wild card. Susie could throw something totally into the mix and say, hey, let's go to...
I don't like the six
dot,
of these.
Dot, 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 mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess, like you said, we'll wait and find out. So basically, there's no point in recording this episode. Except to read menus, which we love to do.
Exactly.
So there's always a good reason to do that.
Exactly.
All right. We're running long here, and you got a lot of work ahead of you. So
yeah, I do. So we can
up.
Wrap this up. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Pour for War Podcast. Email the show, info at Pour for War Podcast. You can email me personally, Mike at Pour for War Podcast. YouTube, right? We're at our YouTube channel, Pour for War Podcast.
Yep,
you can listen to us.
/Pour for War Podcast.
There you go. On iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Pour for War Podcast. What have
website?
I missed?
Website,
www.pourforwarpodcast.com.
And then my email is gary@pourforwarpodcast.com. That's it. Got nothing else?
That's it. That's it. It's time to go to bed so I can get up and work in the morning.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a beautiful thing so I can make some money and go
contribute
to
the economy, right?
Contribute to the economy and go to one of these beautiful Disney restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You're envious, aren't you?
A little bit.
The
yes.
decision that I have to make is...
It's a good decision
to
have.
It is.
It's not
it
like
is.
A it's not like a Sophie's Choice or anything here. Mm-hmm. It's always a good decision when you know there's no way you can lose.
There's no... You can't lose here. You really can't.
No, it's not like you're going to end up at like a Chili's or something.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Correct.
You know what I mean.
I know. I know what you mean.
Or Bumblebee's.
Bumblebee's. Bumblebee's is a good choice. All right, we're going to wrap this nonsense up. You've been listening to episode 158 of the Pour for War podcast. From my cousin up in Westerly, Rhode Island, Mr. Klinsman, I'm Mike down in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida. We'll talk to you next week.